To her, it might seem like a couple weeks. She's been there, you know, time in heaven is nothing, right? But I had this vision of her in the worship service with God, and she was, or this jewels on, and she looked healthy, you know, and that kind of thing. She wasn't, you know, she was going through stuff with her body, but totally healthy and just jumping and leaping and praising God. That's not quiet, right? So, amen. So, church is a happy place, and when you walk into any happy place, is it silent? Amen. No. You walk into Disneyland today, there's people hooping and hollering and having a good time. You walk into the Blazer game today, well, that might be quiet. But no, just kidding. No. They're on the rise. Amen. But Jesus, like Shelley was saying, we are the winners. You walk into the winner's locker room, are they quiet in there? No, man, they are celebrating and hollering and so forth. The loser's locker room, if you ever watch the Super Bowl and they interview both sides, the it's very somber in the loser's locker room and very joyful in the winner's locker room, right? So, amen. So somebody just give me a joyful shout. Hallelujah! Amen! Jesus is Lord. You know, sometimes that's all we got to do is lift our voice and put some back to what we're feeling. And whatever that is we're dealing with just kind of melts off. Amen? Like turning the heat on in the car and you just, all that stuff this time of year just melts off. Right? So that's what we got to do. Luke chapter 2 is our kind of our core chapter here today. We're going to get on through this here because Jesus is Lord. He's got a word for us about keeping the joy in Christmas. How many know the devil wants to steal the joy? He wants to steal. He is, that's part of his personality, isn't it? He is the thief. On his to-do list, on his refrigerator, or on his little phone, whatever, it pops up and says, kill, steal, destroy. Tomorrow he'll wake up in the morning, okay, let's see, kill, steal, destroy. The next week, next Tuesday afternoon, he'll turn on his iPad, and he'll get up there. Okay, today I'm supposed to kill, steal, and destroy, right? His little watch will beep. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to kill, steal, and destroy. So anywhere there's killing, stealing, and destroying, it's not an act of God, right? Well, it is an act of a God, little g, right? He will never be big G, right? And so he wants to steal the joy out of, if you're saved, he at least wants you to be saved but miserable. In fact, he wants to make you think that if you're saved and born again and serving Jesus, then you're supposed to be miserable. Because at least then you'll shut up and you'll get to heaven, but he knows he already lost you, but at least you may not take too many other people with you. Right? That's bad press. Healing is bad press for the devil, right? Revival or the joy of the Lord, bad, bad press for Satan. Amen. Especially if it's a believer and they are blessed and they're healthy and they're happy and they got a good marriage or, you know, they're on the rise, bad press for the devil. He does not like that. Amen. So, we're going to talk about keeping the joy in the Christmas season. Because if there's one time of the year that seems like it's a little bit more of an attack against the joy thing, it's definitely the holidays, right? Whether it's family things or distress or traditions that may have changed over the years, we've got to be on our guard against the joy thief this year. Amen? We gotta know how to get our happy thought. Remember Peter Pan? Where's your happy thought? Praise the Lord. I shared last week about our Christmas tree and how that was, Shelley and I, one of our biggest heated discussions. Notice I say heated discussion, right? Was over the Christmas tree. And especially, not so much when we were newlyweds. Man, everything is just sky high when you're newlyweds, right? When we had the kids, and a couple of us thought that the tree should look like, you know, the kids decorated it, and a couple of us thought that the tree should look like it was done by an interior designer. And that caused the joy to go out that evening. And yesterday, I just went and got our tree. And our tree is in the living right now with a star on top, nothing else. We are unloading the boxes, you know, decorating the house and stuff like that. And like, oh, look, there's those cool LED colored lights that we got last year for the tree. Well, we're not putting those on it this year. And I had to. Merry Christmas, everybody. You know, you just can't let yourself go there, right? The reason it's not decorated is because it was wet, kind of thing, but it's just kind of funny, you know? And so we don't let stuff get to us. We love one another. Christmas is a time of love and joy. Turn on those Christmas carols, turn on the Christmas lights and so forth. And just, we gotta get into the spirit of Christmas, amen? Who is Jesus, right? And Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles there, verse 10 is our core verse right there. But we'll just go right there. Then the angel said to them, he's talking to the shepherds, right? Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to how many people? To all people, right? So, good tidings, Christmas is about good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's who Jesus is. The word gospel, in fact, means the good news. The Bible is not full of bad news unless you're the devil, right? Unless you're the devil, unless you're committed to the devil's cause, it's bad news, right? But for believers, the gospel is the good news. And that's what Christmas is all about. Amen. So the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And Shelley was talking about playing Joy to the World. I should probably change my slide there. Shelley was talking about playing Joy to the World, and I don't know about you, but I don't necessarily memorize the verses to those songs. Everybody knows Joy to the World. Right? But when it got to that repeat the sounding joy, right? That's what we're talking about. Repeat the sounding joy. Jesus is the sounding joy of Christmas, and we got to repeat that. Rejoice, right? Keep the victory up. If nothing else, we know Jesus is alive. He's on the throne. He's not a little baby anymore. He died. He rose again. Everything's going to be all right. Amen? There's joy in that. We are the winners. And that sometimes we just got to get ourselves and shake ourselves by the cheek and say, hey, right? Snap out of it, son, right? Amen. So joy, what it means here, our definitions are cheerful, joyful. I like the word full. Cheerful. Joyful. Gladness. Calm delight. Calmly happy. Joy brings a calming effect over our lives where there's been worry or stress or these kind of things. The joy of the Lord just brings a calmness and a peace that passes understanding. Because we know we're well off and we will be well. All will be well with me because Jesus is my Lord. Not because, you know, grandma went on to be with Jesus last year so her brownies won't be there at Christmas. That's going to be a bummer, right? Or so-and-so had to sell their house, and so we've had Christmas at that house for 25 years, and this year we won't, so it's going to be a bummer. Or this relationship went south. I'll tell you what, guys, I had a family, our family's blessed, but we had some people in our family that was like that George Michael song. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, remember that one? But the very next day, what happened? You gave it away. At our Christmas Eve party, it was that every year. Who is so-and-so going to bring with them this year? Because last Christmas, they gave their... But this year, they're going to give it to someone special, right? Well, a lot of people, that's where they live, right? Looking for joy in a relationship, or joy in the bottle, or joy in whatever, the weed, or whatever, right? Jesus is the joy. No matter what relationship is here or not here, I had a couple that went south over the holidays when I was a younger guy, and it was a bummer. But Praise the Lord. Jesus was Lord. Christmas still came. Jesus was still alive. And that's in the distant past. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? So, we give our hearts to Jesus. He is our joy. That's where we begin. That's where we end. I want to look at two reasons why we have the joy that just doesn't go away. If you have Luke chapter 1 there, just turn back a page. First of all, last week we talked about we have such joy because we are highly favored of God. Talking about Mary, right, and God and the experience that she had. In Luke chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." That must have been startling to that. She probably was, 14, 15 years old? And the angel of God shows up in her house. Rejoice. Amen, right? But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Back to verse 28 there. What did he say, the angel? Rejoice, what? Highly favored. One of the reasons we have such joy is because in Jesus you are highly favored of God. That doesn't change with whose house Christmas is at this year. That doesn't change with if you get exactly what you asked for this Christmas. That doesn't change with where you're working at. That doesn't change on December 26th, right? We are highly favored sons and daughters of God. Changes not. Amen. That's where the joy is. Amen? That's the first thing. We talked about that last week. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." How many know if you have favor with God, it doesn't matter if you don't have favor with anybody else in the whole world? Right? If Paul Allen called me today and said, "You know what, Steve? I've decided that for the rest of my life, you're my favorite guy." Wow. Alpha, I'll see you later. And Paul, we're building a church. Steve, I've decided you're not my favorite. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking, right? But you know what? Who cares after that, right? When God called and said, "You know what, Luke, you're my favorite kid from now on. And Randy, so are you." Right? Amen. It's the truth. Somebody say, it's the truth. Now these things come, we have to, sometimes when God comes and says something to us, you notice Mary's first response, it was troubling to her. Right? Well, who am I that God should favor? First of all, back then, as a female, you weren't looked at as, you know, a subpar to men even. Right? So here comes this angel from God, from the presence of God, telling me that I am highly favored of God. How am I going to tell that to my dad? Or to Joseph or whoever else, right? Amen? So, highly favored. Even if it doesn't sound right, you are highly favored. Doesn't matter what anybody else says, you are God's favorite. God's favorite. That sounds kind of egotistical, but it's biblical. You are God's favorite kid. And he's big enough that we can all be his favorite kid. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, "Consider what manner of greeting this was." The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." Somebody say Jesus. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." That's good news. He's talking Messiah. Now, Mary probably had been trained in what that meant. He's talking about this Messiah I've heard about all my life. Right? And I'm the one who's going to, wow, right? Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? I'm not married, right? Angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. In verse 36, now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month of for her who was called barren. Okay, so he's still, and you know what, Mary? Your relative out there, she's an older woman, supposedly barren. She's also with child. So he instantly connected her with somebody else of like faith, right? It's important when the Spirit of God is putting something on you that you don't just go out and share it with anybody. Amen? Elizabeth is going to understand because she was barren and she's going to have a baby and you're a virgin and you're going to have a baby. You're young and she's old. So there's a connection there, a faith connection. It's important. That's why we have a church. For one great reason to have a church is because there's other people of like faith hanging out together. Not everybody's just going to understand you walking around talking highly favored. What are you talking about? Who are you, right? We're all in this thing together. We're sinners saved by grace. Well, no, we were sinners. We got saved by grace. And now I'm highly favored of God. Amen, right? So verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. There's the next thing I was looking at in terms of why I have such joy is because of this. With my God, nothing is impossible. Say that out loud. With my God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Amen? That's a reason to have joy right there. Nothing is impossible. My house could be paid for tomorrow. Nothing is impossible. Right? Amen. I could live every day the rest of my life without even a cold symptom. Nothing is impossible. My kids could go to school the rest of their lives and not miss one day because of sickness. To the world, this is absurd. I could never have a car payment again. Nothing is impossible. We could build a church and 50,000 people could come to it and get saved and delivered and world missions, you name it. Nothing is impossible. You see what I'm saying? Does it cost anything to dream? You see what I'm saying? We have to get back to being dreamers for God. Don't limit by our age, by our financial status. Does it cost anything to dream? To have a dream for God? No. Nothing. That's what we need to stay like kids. Because why? Because with my God, nothing is impossible. And guess what? I'm his favorite. Amen. Right? Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Now, see, that is one awesome thing we can learn from Mary right there. Behold your servant, let it be to me according to your word. Praise God. Nothing shall be impossible. His word is health. His word is prosperity. His word is joy. His word is peace. Let it be to me according to your word. Got to move on here. I did list some other verses there in your notes. You can look through those. On your own time, but we're going to have to cruise through here because we got more places to go. There's good Bible reading there, though. Some stuff that has to do with God, all things are possible, places to look at and just receive from. I do want to look at this one, though. Galatians chapter 1. I'm just going to hit one of them. Galatians chapter 1. Nothing is impossible with God. good to find when we're standing on something in the Word, to find it in multiple places in the Bible, right? Galatians 1, 11 through 16. This is Paul speaking. "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." See, what did he say? According to man. What did Mary to say? According to your word. So I can therefore live either according to men or according to the word of God. Men would laugh at you saying, you're not going to live under a 30-year mortgage. You're going to own your own home. But with God, all things are possible. Amen, right? Just stuff like that. "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but came through the revelation of" who? "Of Jesus." Amen. Verse 12, or verse 13. "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it, and I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Okay, it's all about pleasing men, pleasing men, pleasing men, right? "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood." See, we don't go around asking people, "Well, what do you think? Am I highly favored of God? What do you think?" We don't go out and confer with other people. We see it in the Word, and we believe it. No matter if anybody else in this room or on this planet believes that, I see it in the Word. It's me and God on this issue, on any issue of life, right? No matter if anybody else believes it or not, if the pastor isn't teaching it, but I'm seeing it in the Word, I'm going to stand on it anyway. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's what the Word of God says. That's why Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." Not according to, what if she would have gone to her father and said, "Dad, what do you think about this?" Right? Or Joseph. "Joseph, what do you think about this?" No, he did connect her, though, with somebody, Elizabeth. Amen? So praise God for those divine, Keith Moore calls them faith buddies. We need to have faith buddies. "Now, Mom, I'm feeling this pain in my knee. Remind me again what the Word of God says about that." "Well, the Word of God says, by his stripes you are healed. We agree in the name of Jesus." Right? Amen. I've been built up again. You want to find that person that says, "Well, yeah, my grandfather had that thing with his knee, and they had to amputate his leg." Well, that just built me up, didn't it? Right? Is it, you're feeling it right there? Yep, that's right where he felt it. You know, we need to have faith buddies. And we don't confer with people. So when God is showing us something in the Word, it doesn't matter if come hell or high water, as they say, I'm believing the Word of God. God sent Gabriel. He didn't send a guy. Some young guy shows up. "You know what? You're supposed to be the mother of God's child, and I'm the dad." Liar! Get out of my house, right? Angel of God. But there are scriptures that say we should even test angels if they show up. Don't just believe anything an angel... An angel shows up and says, "I'm an angel from God, and the Lord says this." Well, if it says something contrary to the Word of God, the devil shows up, the Bible says, as an angel of light. Yeah, so we got to be people who know what the Word of God says. This is how false religions begin. "Yeah, I know the Bible says this, but you're supposed to take it to another level and write a new Bible and add new things to it." Yikey shnikey. You know, that's danger, danger. Amen. So we have this great joy because nothing is impossible for our God. We don't have to go around asking people for permission to believe God. It's between you. This is another thing where religion has messed things up in some ways. Well, yeah, if you and your priest agree, Or if your spiritual advisor approves, oh no, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And I have the Word of God on my night table. And Jesus wants a relationship with me personally. Not me and Jesus and so-and-so. Amen? It's you and God. Not me and Jesus and my wife. Amen? I don't go, Shelly, what? Now we do talk. We encourage one another. But I don't ask her for permission to believe the Word of God. You know? We do bear witness with one another on certain things. Amen? But there are certain things that God teaches her that he hasn't taught me yet. And same vice versa. So we don't even go, our relationship with Jesus is more intimate than the closest relationship we could have on this planet. Amen? Nothing is impossible with our God. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Go back to Luke chapter 1 because we're having fun. Does this sound like good news to anybody? So, with God, nothing will be impossible. Now we're going to read on through verse 45 in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 39. Verse 38. Verse 39. Now, Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. After she posted what the angel said on Facebook and read the first 10 comments. No, I'm just kidding. No! My Facebook friends think it's crazy that I should be highly favored of God. No, she went to have a face-to-face with her cousin, right? With her relative. Entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, this is a faith buddy right here. And it's awesome when faith buddies are in your family. That's cool, right? Sometimes they're not, though. Amen. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women! And blessed is the fruit of your womb." Mary hasn't even told her anything yet. Apparently. I mean, right? If we're reading the Bible. "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord..." She's prophesying. Mary hasn't even said anything. It's a 15-year-old cousin. "Should come to me. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for what? For joy." And of course, we're talking here about who? John the Baptist, right? In her womb. "Blessed is she..." Now, this is the key verse here. This is the next thing here. This one, the Lord woke me up 3 a.m. to remind me I needed to add this one today. Literally, I'm asleep. And the Lord wakes me up and says, "You're not done yet. There's something else we have to get to tomorrow," right? "I have such joy because nothing is impossible with God." And letter D, "I have such joy because he fulfills his word to me," right? "Blessed," verse 45, "blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." See, not just I'm his favorite, not just nothing is impossible, but he is going to do in my life what he said he would do. Wow. Now see, that's next level right there. It's one thing to say, "Yep, I'm his favorite, yep, nothing's impossible," but then he comes back and says, I'm actually going to do what I told you I'm going to do. I'm going to fulfill that promise in your life. Amen. But we got to be like Mary. Blessed is she who believed. Amen. "For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." That is so powerful. That is so powerful right there. "So therefore, we have such joy because he fulfills his word to us." If he said, "You are healed," then he is going to heal me. If he said, "You are rich," then he's going to prosper me financially and increase me. If he said, you are, you know, full of my peace, then he is going to rid my life of anxieties and worries and fears, right? Our part is to do what? Believe. Believe. And don't confer with flesh and blood on this. You go up to some people, a lot of people, Christian people in a lot of cases, and say, I'm God's favorite. Nothing's impossible for my God. And he's going to do what he told me. God's talking to you? Yeah, brother. Isn't he talking to you too, brother? So many, you know, even believers spend more time, you know, doing other stuff than having a relationship with their Abba, Father, God. Not us. Somebody say, not me. Because that's where the faith comes from his presence, from being with him. Trust is developed with relationship, isn't it? It's a trust thing. If I know him personally, one-to-one, there's going to be a trust there. And I know if God told me this, he's going to do it. He is going, somebody say, he's going to do it. That's what Mary just said right here. That's what Elizabeth just prophesied, right? I don't know why. I've read this story a number of times. I've never, to my recollection, seen this verse before. It's like, did somebody just put that in this year? But don't you know, with the Spirit of God, he'll enlighten us as we go and show us things that we didn't see the last 50 times. But just that, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her. Don't you know how encouraging that must have felt to Mary? Wow, this woman understands what I'm going through. And I haven't even told her a thing. Wow, faith buddy. We need to be faith buddies to each other. Richard's a lot like that too. I come in sometimes and he'll just start bouncing things off me. You know, but God's going to do it. It's like, man, that's a faith buddy. Dave, is that all you guys are that way? You know, it is so encouraging that people come to church and hear the word of God and seem like they're enjoying it. Amen. Because he is going to do what he said he's going to do. This is why when the Lord gives us a prophetic word, that we don't just take that lightly. I believe this church, for example, is God's idea. Therefore, he is going to prosper it. He is going to build it. Shelley and I do not spend hours upon hours worrying about it or trying to figure it out. You know? Like Richard and I were talking this morning. Him and I happened to be the first ones here this morning. And we were talking about the power of faith and, you know, just right when we bumped into each other, just immediately talking faith. Some people, you get together with immediately talking sports. We like sports, but this morning, immediately talking faith. We were talking about how faith without works is dead, right? The Bible says this. We can't just say, I believe God, and then sit on the couch and eat chips and ice cream and expect him to fulfill his word. Amen? We got to do stuff. And we were talking with like, yeah, Richard, that's why we're here 2 hours before church today. God provided this cool place to have church, but we got stuff to do because we're getting ready for it. Amen. Amen. That's the God we serve. And praise his name. He's going to show up. How many have God showed up in your life? Just undeniably. And it's encouraging, isn't it? It's encouraging. So do we just have to accept every word that comes then? Somebody who is an unbeliever? And we don't be mean to those people, but we don't just accept it. Well, because they're you know, maybe they were a mentor in my life, or some sort of authority figure, maybe somebody I respect, and they just downright don't believe this. Not going to change me. You come too late for me, right? I know my Father, and it's his word, not yours, not theirs. It's his word. Amen. And he will keep his word. Praise the Lord. Now, a couple of verses here as we close up. 1 Kings 8:24. You have kept what, you know, these are other scriptures in the Bible. This is what the Bible says. Amen, right? This is why we believe this. This is why we have joy that carries us through. Amen? You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. I believe this is Solomon talking, right? Which is in the messianic line of Jesus, right? You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand, as it is this day. That's a powerful statement right there, right? I love that, how it says, you, he's talking to God, you have kept what you promised. You have both spoken and fulfilled it. You've spoken it with your mouth and you fulfilled it with your hand. Isn't it nice to meet somebody who isn't just all talk? Right? Oh yeah, I'll be there. And then they never show up. Right? Amen? I'll be there and we'll get it done. I'll be, you know, whatever. And then they just don't show. Right? We don't have a God like that. When he says he's going to do it, he is, you know, one of the coolest sports stories I remember is Babe Ruth. And he pointed at the bleachers. And then he went ahead and hit the home run. Out the same way he was calling his shot. This next one I'm putting in those bleachers. And then he went ahead, the next pitcher, I don't remember how many pitches later, but he hits one out of the ballpark. That's the kind of God we have. He says, I will heal your body. He will heal your body. Amen. That's the God I serve. That's the God you serve. Psalm 20, verse 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all, somebody say all, your purpose. Yeah. So your desires, we got to sometimes look at our desires. Desires are not bad. Dreams, desires. These things oftentimes are from God. Amen. Now, they are not God themselves. We don't go to work, you know, a lot of folks go to work, you know, for their desires. That's carnal living. We put God first, and he says in his word, if you put me first, I will add all these things. Somebody say all these things, right, to you. So we bring those desires to God, those dreams, and he says right here in his word, this is God talking to us through his word. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Now, we have corporate purposes, but there's also individual purposes. He's big enough that every one of us in this room are his favorite, and he's got a purpose for every one of us in this room, a place where we fit in his body. And it's according to our desire. So many people stay away from the house of God and from the Lord because they think he's going to ask them to do something they hate. Lord's going to ask me to go to China, so I'm not going to church. Lord's going to ask me to tithe. Well, yeah, that's a corporate thing, right? But the reason he's asking you to tithe is because money is a lousy God, and he wants to bless you. Amen. Right? Like that story I've told with the kids in children's church. And we had this big bucket of candy. And congratulations, Jimmy, you won! Yay! Now, Jimmy, you can grab a handful of candy and take it with you, or I'll grab a handful of candy and give it to you. And 9 times out of 10, Jimmy wants to grab it himself. Okay, Jimmy, congratulations, but let me show you something. If I would have reached in and they can see the difference, the little tiny hand and this huge handful of candy. Your little 10%, Jimmy, enjoy it. Right? Amen. So he will put desires in your heart and you'll use it to glorify God with. Amen. And he'll fulfill all your purpose. One more. Do you have time for one more verse? John chapter 3. This is talking about Elizabeth's little beauty. You see that movie, The Apostle? And he's talking about Mary's little beauty. Who was Mary's little beauty? Jesus. This guy had some issues he was going through. I think he was one of those folks that might have saw God as somebody who was waiting to beat you over the head kind of thing. God loves me. I'm his favorite. Nothing's impossible, and he's going to do it. Those are three great reasons to be joyful, cheerful. John 3, 25 through 30. Now this is John, Elizabeth's son John, after he grew up, right? John 3, 25. Now there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. He's talking about Jesus. See, there's even some strife trying to get in between Jesus' guys and John's guys here. Don't you know the devil is the father of strife and division and discord? But John answered wisely, right? John said this, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness and that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. John understood his purpose here. It's important that and this is another sermon really, but it's important that we understand our purpose. I don't go out and judge Richard because I'm not doing Richard's purpose. Amen, right? He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. See? He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, I tend to have thought of that almost in a negative sense over the years. But what John is saying here is that it's okay that people are coming to Jesus and not to me. Right? My joy is Jesus, not my ministry even, right? Or the numbers of people that are coming around the ministry. They're coming to who? Who can save them? Jesus, right? Who can heal it? Jesus can heal them, right? So they're not coming to me, John says. They're coming to Jesus. And in this, my joy is fulfilled. God is about fulfilling the joy of our lives. So what's going to bring joy to your life, right? Well, expect that to increase. And expect the things that bring discouragement, doubt, unbelief to decrease. If he must increase and I must decrease, to me that tells me the blessing is getting bigger and the curse is getting smaller. Period. Because what are things like in heaven right now? Everybody's rich, everybody's healthy, everybody's happy. Therefore, if he must increase and I must decrease, everybody say this, that's a good thing. Amen. They're coming to Jesus. They're not coming to Redeem Church. They're not coming to hear Pastor Steve or be in the children's ministry or sing in the worship team. They're coming to Jesus. And that's a good thing. Amen. Let's stand up on our feet. We're going to pray right now and just dedicate this to the Lord because he is so good. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, we thank you today for this word. We receive it. Just begin to thank him. Lord, we thank you today. We thank you that we are highly favored. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing is impossible for you. And we thank you that you are fulfilling your word to us, individually and corporately, in the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.